Good morning, IVCD. My name is Angewi Fett, for those who might not know me. I'm one of the elders here at IBCD. Pastor Jeff is currently at another IBC church, I think Bucharest it is, and they're helping the church go through the refresh process, which we also did here at IBCD, and this Sunday Jeff is also preaching at that church, so we'll have them in prayer. Can I have the clicker worship team? AV team, I don't have the... Thank you. All right, so let's say a word of prayer and we'll begin. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning and we thank you for your word which comes to us. Father, we pray, O God, that your word would take root in our hearts. It's going to transform us and it's going to point us to you. Your word promises, O God, that your word which you send out shall not return empty, but shall accomplish every purpose for which it is sent. May your word accomplish its purposes in our heart today. Be with us, O Lord. We lift up also Jeff, Andrea, and their spouses who are right now helping a sister church. We pray, Father, that you would be with them and may they be a blessing to this church and may they themselves be refreshed by being there. Bring them back safely to us as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, unless you've been living under a rock or in space for the past 2 years, and if you have been, good for you, but we all know that it's been a rather difficult time in the world. We have had the COVID pandemic since 2020, and that has dominated the news cycles, the news headlines, and as soon as we thought that was okay, we're going to get a break from that, you know, then comes the war in Ukraine. So it's just like one thing after the next, you know, and when we read scripture, we see that, like wars and rumors of wars, pandemics, famine, and lots of those things. And there's lots of other things also going on around the world, which maybe don't dominate our headlines, but affect people just as much. Everyone who skipped math class in school, you know, got a refresher course this past years. We learned about flattening the curve, lengthening the wave, increasing the spread, all kinds of, you know, new terminology and things which maybe you haven't thought of since you did, since you left school. The rules seem to be changing constantly from 1 month to the next, and that can generate a lot of anxiety, a lot of uncertainty. For the people in Ukraine, it must be a really difficult time right now, you know, not knowing what the future would bring, when you would be able to ever return to your home, what happens to your home while you're away, or for those who are leaving who don't have a home already because it was blown up, right, with everything you had. It is a time that can be rather difficult and leave us wondering, what comes next? Where do we go from here? In our Christian walk, we are often called by God to walk with him in places of uncertainty, in places where when we look at our circumstances, we have no clue what the next day would bring. And just as Maini was praying, you know, like we know God can do it. But I know, like for myself, at least whenever I'm praying for many things, you usually have an idea of how you want God to work it out. You know, when you're praying for something for yourself, you're like, if God, you could do it like this, it would be great. And then there are certain things that you're praying and you look at it and you're just like, I don't know how this is going to stop. And it's the same thing, even in my country, I come from Cameroon. Right now, there's been, you know, kind of, you know, civil unrest and war for like the past 4 years. And whenever, it's a really difficult subject for me to pray for myself, because whenever I'm praying for it, it's like, I can't see how this ends. I know God can work it out and I trust him too, but it's always a difficult prayer. Throughout scripture, we find God calling people to walk with him in places of uncertainty. And a lot of times, God doesn't give details, right? We find God just saying, trust me, follow me, or I will provide. And that's all they have to go on. About 21 years ago, so this is 2001, my brother, who some of you know as Zinwi, he was a member of this church before he moved, left home and was traveling to Germany to study. I was the first one of us in our family to travel out, and so we all came to the airport, you know, to send him off. So there was my parents, my siblings, you know, some uncles, some aunts and cousins. It was a rather big group, and I remember this rather vividly because it was my first time at an airport, you know, so it was there was some excitement there for me. And we got there, you know, like growing up actually from childhood, all of us were being used to being away from home. This was really not, in a sense, something new for us, because to go to school, schools were not close to home, so we would be away from home for months on end. We would not see our parents that often, and usually during the holidays. But Germany was a different kind of change. This was a different beast, right? He was going out to, you know, a strange country, you know, where, you know, for my parents had never been. They were basically sending out their son to a place which they didn't really know. He was going to be gone for a really long time, and it was not certain when he would be able to come visit. You didn't know when you would see him again. It was a foreign language, a language they couldn't speak. It was a culture they didn't know. It was very far away, so you couldn't just, you know, get to him if you wanted to. Or he couldn't get to them if he needed support. So as parents, you're sending him out knowing that your ability to support this person is very limited. There was no WhatsApp. There was no video calling like we all have now. And even normal calls were really expensive. They still are for us. He will be on his own in most of the ways that my parents could imagine. And I remember we were there, and, you know, like I said, for me, there was, you know, I was just watching it all and, like, taking it in, also excited being at the airport and just, okay, something is happening. But I remember very much the anguish that my parents were going through in this time of uncertainty for my brother, or for them as well. I remember my mom packed so much food in the bag that the wheels came off. And we all made the joke, like, what, they don't have food in Germany? Like, well, like, where is he going? What are we doing? Maybe we should think about this, you know, if that's the situation. I remember my dad the whole time, you know, like, asking him, do you have your passport? Do you have your documents, your admission letter? You know, and he's like, yes, yes, I got this, and double-checking and triple-checking. And, you know, you could see the nervousness. You could see the, yeah, some anxiety this generated, because it was something new. They bought the thickest jackets they could find, you know, and, you know, put them on him. And so I still remember his slender frame, you know, and those big jackets, which anyway are still not warm enough, because back in Cameroon, you can't buy anything that's good enough for winter here, because we just don't have use for that. But yeah, he had the thickest stuff we could find. And so, yeah, he had everything. He checked everything, and, you know, it was all set. It was ready to go. And so he went through the security gates, you know, like we usually do at the airport. And as he would go, we stood there, and he would, you know, every step that he would clear, you know, one security checkpoint, he would turn and wave, and you couldn't really see through. It was not like here where you have glasses, like just small vents in the walls, and he would try to wave through, and we could follow him because, okay, we knew how he was dressed. And so we followed around and waved till, you know, wherever we couldn't see him anymore, and then he went into the gates. Then we climbed up to the observation deck, and, you know, just we identified the plane. There were not that many taking off. And so we sat there and watched. And so we stood. And for me, it was like, wow, you know, it's exciting. For my parents, it was, I think, terrifying. We watched the plane, and I remember vividly, you know, the time came, you know, the plane taxied down the runway. And as the plane was taxiing and getting ready to take off, I remember my mom just praying out, you know, out loud to him, like more to herself in a way, but out loud so we could hear, and like whispering blessings and just praying for him. And the moment the plane accelerated and took off, she broke down in tears. And I still remember standing there and just, you know, just watching, just taking it all in. And I think in that moment, it also hit me, actually, you know, from all the excitement and everything, like, okay, he's really gone now, and I don't know when I'll see him again. My mom was crying. My aunt took her in her arms and was holding her and comforting her. My dad, you know, put on his best stoic face that he could, but he just stood there by her side, and I could tell he was also just overcome with emotion. It was like, it was just quiet. Some of you might be able to relate to that. You know, being IBCD, after all, we come from a lot of places. For others, it's like, it's a trip to another country, no big deal. But for us, for my parents, it was a big deal. It was an unknown journey. It was an unknown destination. It would be 4 years before we saw him again. And in that time, all they could do was trust him to God and trust that, you know, God would take care of him. This was an unknown journey. And the same way we see in the Bible, a lot of the heroes in the Bible go through something similar. And in also, almost all of us, in various stages of our lives, we experience something similar. We get called to do the seemingly impossible or to walk with God in circumstances which are really difficult. And often we don't have a roadmap. We don't have the clear plan of, okay, this is going to happen now, and then the next in 2 months, this is going to happen. We don't have the milestones. We often just have a follow me, obey me, or walk with me. And many of those people, as we heard in the passage which Maini read at the beginning of the service, the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11, they responded in faith, in trust, and by walking with God, they were able to do great exploits for him. Abraham is one of the most famous examples of this. And it was a very similar situation. Abraham was called by God to go to a land that God would show him and to pack up and leave his family and everything he knew. And he didn't even know where he was going. It was just, follow me. I will tell you where we are going. Travel was hard. Back then, communication was hard. And now, even when we travel, we have some means of communication. I imagine for Abraham, it must have been, you know, you say farewell and you hit the road and you don't know if you'll ever find these people again or see them. Abraham obeyed in faith and it was credited to him as righteousness. Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. In today's world, we are rather saturated with information. You could pull out your phone from your pocket and basically find out anything you need to know about almost any subject there is. We have the wealth of human knowledge, so to speak, at our fingertips. And I think in a way this contributes to extra anxiety for us, especially in this generation, when we don't know the plan, when we don't know what is going to happen next, because we are so used to having answers. We are so used to being able to find out what we need to know. So how do we deal with this? How do we overcome doubts? How do we overcome questions? How do we overcome places of distrust so that we can walk with God effectively, so that we can grow in our faith? Today we are going to be learning some lessons on how to do this from the ministry of the prophet Elijah. And Elijah is one of the great prophets in the Old Testament, one whose stories I grew up reading and I usually love to reread them. And his ministry starts in 1 Kings 17. Now, Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word." Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kerith Ravine, east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have directed the ravens to supply you with food there." So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kerith Ravine, east of the Jordan, and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening. And he drank from the brook. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him. "Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food." So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he called, and bring me, please, a piece of bread. As surely as the Lord our God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. Elijah said to her, Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first, make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land. She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Now, background to this passage where we see Elijah's ministry open is, at this point in Israel's history, the kingdom has been split into the northern kingdom, which was called Israel, and the southern kingdom, which was called Judah. And Israel, the northern kingdom, where this is happening, had had a succession of evil kings, as the Bible tells us, kings who had not done good in the sight of the Lord. They had done evil in God's sight. They had led the people in idolatry. They had appointed priests who were corrupt. You know, so basically the land was going its own way. And God would raise prophets to kind of try to bring them back to him. Elijah, just as we see in the opening, comes and proclaims to the king, who is Ahab, is king at this time, and tells him there's not going to be any rain, you know, there's going to be drought in the land for the next couple of years until I say so. Later we find out that this was a period of about 3.5 years. So it was a long time for there to be a drought. And after he proclaimed this, the Lord led him to a ravine, so it's, which is kind of like, you know, a small spring where water was flowing. And God told him, go there, for I have commanded the ravens to feed you. Right? So Elijah goes in faith. When I was reading this again, you know, and it's a story I'm familiar with, but I was just like thinking, okay, what if someone told you, like, go and birds are going to bring you food? And for me, the first thing that went to my head was like, what kind of food? All right, like, what are birds going to bring? Are they going to bring, like, small pieces of bread? You know, like, is it, like, going to be communion every day, or how is it going to be? Is it going to be leftovers from somebody's house? But Elijah went in faith because God had commanded. And surely enough, the birds brought bread and water every morning and evening for Elijah. Elijah was fed and cared for at the brook. But after a while, even this brook dried up. And sometimes we have our life circumstances that are similar. We feel God calls us to a place, and we move there in faith, we respond. And then suddenly, it feels like it dries up, and then we start questioning, but didn't God send me here? I thought I heard the voice of God. What is happening now? Why is this drying up? But as we learn, this was still all part in God's plan. God had accounted for it.